Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
And awesome, awesome. Well, this month, if you didn't know, is National Adoption Month. National Adoption Month. In fact, last Sunday, it was National Orphan Sunday. And so you may not be aware of this, but these things are put in the calendar by someone, I'm not sure who, to raise awareness, to bring our focus to these issues and the orphan crisis in the world. In fact, this year for our Christmas impact offering, we are going to be dedicating a portion of those funds to go to a fund that will help families in our own church family who want to adopt but can't afford to. And so we do all of this really just to bring awareness to say there are needs in the world and there are orphans who need a home, and we want to be a part of the solution to that. So I still remember back in May of 2011, whenever my world was personally rocked by the orphan crisis. I had gone on a trip to Haiti, and I had never been in an orphanage before, confession. I just got to go on that trip to an orphanage, and it happened to be the last day of the trip. Wasn't even in the plan. I just went to this orphanage, and it was up in the hills of Port-au-Prince and just outside of the city, and it was a nice, cool Friday evening. I still remember it so vividly, and I go in this little kitchen area, and then I walk through the kitchen area, and I go in this little hallway area, and there's two bedrooms side by side. And there's just bunk beds lining the walls in there. And there are actually 22 children living in two bedrooms, the size of bedrooms that my kids live in. And it was in that moment that my heart was shook. And I thought, I can do something about this. And so we set out on that journey of going through adoption, and it was a 28-month-long journey to adopt. And we knew that God had called us to this. We knew that we were following him and that we were going to follow him all the way. But how many of you know that just because God calls you to something doesn't mean that you won't see some obstacles along the way when he's called you to it? There were. In fact, after 20 months of being in the process, the adoption process, we had gone to Haiti four times to bond with our daughter and spend time with her. We would spend weeks at a time with her. And so we had done that four times, 20 months into the process. Her biological mother showed up at the orphanage right before she was supposed to relinquish her rights. And she showed up at the orphanage and said, I don't want her to be adopted, and she took her from the orphanage. You can imagine that that was a pretty trying experience for us, a pretty what seemed to be impossible circumstance. But when God speaks something, here's what I want you to know. He makes a way. And within 2 months, through much prayer and through much faith, we saw God do something pretty cool. Because the mother changed her mind and brought Ella back to the orphanage. And within 8 months, you all know, most of you know the story. Ella came home with us, and she's now been home with us for 4 years. We celebrated this last week. And so I remember that, but I remember that even though God had called us to it, that it wasn't easy in the process. And when we were going through that, I think we experienced something on a daily basis, and it was a struggle. And I think it's a struggle that many Christ followers deal with on a daily basis. We begin to rely on ourselves instead of putting our faith in God. We put our trust, our hope, our faith in our own intellect, in our own understanding, in what we can grasp or imagine, and we don't trust the God who knows and controls everything. The beginning, as we've been talking about faith for everyday life, the beginning of faith for everyday life is dethroning trust in ourselves and turning to the God who redeems. So we've been in this series in the book of Hebrews, and Hebrews chapter 11 is chock full of people who have believed God in faith. They have this incredible sense of faith. Now, one thing that's important to the writer of Hebrews is that he conveys over and over again that salvation is not by any merit of our own. Salvation is by grace through faith. And he goes over that again and again. In fact, the first 10 chapters of the entire book are solely about to believe Jesus. Don't trust your own works and your own ceremonies and your own rituals, but trust Jesus. He's better than all of that other stuff. And the message of the New Testament really is that no person can be justified by their works. We're saved by grace through faith. That is not of ourselves, so that no one can boast. And the Apostle Paul writes that. Now, here's one thing that's interesting. The message of the New Testament, being salvation by grace through faith alone, when we come to Hebrews 11:30, we see that it's not an individual who displays faith, although we've seen individuals, Abraham and Sarah, and we've seen Moses and Moses' parents last week, and we've seen all these different people, individuals display faith, but now we're going to see a community of people display faith. And what we find here is a community who, in verse 30, describes an incredible amount of faith. Let's look at this passage together. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. In this passage, we're going to see an impossible obstacle. We're going to see a call of God, and we're going to see a radical kind of faith and courageous kind of faith. Now, let me set this up for us, because we're going to go back to look at an Old Testament passage. Last week, Lee shared a great word from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 through 29. If you weren't here and you didn't get to hear that message, you can go on iTunes, search the Church at Lake Travis, download that on podcasts, and you can listen to it. One of the things I love about podcasts, I don't know about you, but you can listen to podcasts at 2 times the speed. So you don't have to listen to the duration of it, can double anyway. That's my own pet peeve. But so in that passage, we saw Moses' parents and the faith of Moses found in Exodus. And now we're moving on to Joshua. And first, we're reminded of the walls of Jericho in this chapter 11, verse 30. And it's the Greek word tekos. Tekos, and it was describing the outer wall around Jericho that surrounded the city, that fortified the city to keep it safe, to keep outsiders from coming inside. Now, up to this point, the writer of Hebrews has been citing examples of great faith of men, of people that came after the flood up until Israel left Egypt. And then Moses is being the one drawn out of the experience in Egypt and who led them out. Remember last week? And they came out of the land of Egypt and they were on their way to the promised land. Now, here we are. We're in the promised land and we're going to meet some of the heroes in life in the promised land. And just so you know, in Hebrews, there's an omission of 40 years where Moses is leading the people around in the wilderness and they aren't entering into the land. They're just wandering around in unbelief. And so now this generation of doubters has died and Joshua is in charge, and the generation that's able to go into the land and the story is given to us in Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, if you have a Bible, you can turn there, because that's where we're going to kind of sit for most of the time today. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. We will have the verses up on the screen for you. But I will tell you that in advance, this is a participatory message. So there are some points I'm going to ask you to participate in this message, and I'll let you know when we get to those points. So let's read from Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. They're sitting ready to go into possess the land that God had promised them. And the text reads, "Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand." A little bit scary. Joshua went up to him and he asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" I love the question. And then he says in verse 14, "Neither." I think it's funny because oftentimes we want to pray for our team to win, right? And we just know that God's for our team, right? But the reality is, I don't think God's for our team. I think God would say the same thing here. And he said to Joshua, "I'm not for either one of you guys, neither," he replied. "But as commander of the army of the Lord, I've now come." Now, we don't know who that is. We don't know if that's an angel of some kind, probably an angel, the commander of the army of the Lord, probably a pretty tough dude. And then when he said that, Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence, and he asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" And then verse 15, then the commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy." And then the next phrase, Joshua did so. Now, the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out, no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I've delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets..." And here's where I'm going to need your help. I'm going to need you to participate. Whenever I say shout, you're going to shout, okay? Let's practice this. First, we're going to go for men first, okay? We need a good, strong, brave heart kind of, yeah, you know, shout, okay? So here we go, men, on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Okay, we're going to get better as we go, okay? Ladies, we're going to need a big shout from you too. And let's go on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. All right. Well, good, good. Y'all are good. Y'all are doing great. Okay, here we go. So when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, and everybody's going to shout together, have the whole army give a loud shout. Awesome. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. Now we're going to fast forward a little bit in the story to verse 15. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. And the 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout! For all the Lord has given you the city." And then verse 20, when the trumpet sounded, the army shouted. Yeah! And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout. Yeah! All right, good job, men. You were on cue. Awesome. The wall collapsed, so everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. Awesome, awesome story. So let's back up just for a moment and let's look at this story in detail. You're familiar with it. The angel of the Lord shows up and speaks to Joshua, and Joshua, in a posture of humility, receives the message from God that God has given them the city. Now the writer tells us that Jericho was tightly shut up. I want you to notice that in verse 2. I believe it's verse 2. Maybe it's verse 1. Now the gates, verse 1, the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one came in and no one went out. Now, this is so interesting. They had been told that the people of God were on the move. They had been told that God's people were coming and they were a massive, some would estimate that when the people of Israel left Egypt, that they were about 2 million people. They were a massive people group. So if you're the people living in Jericho and you're watching this large group of people start to march around the city, it might be a little frightening to you. Now, Jericho had already been spied out. We're going to look at that next week in a beautiful story. You remember earlier, if you know the story, it's in Joshua chapter 2. And now the city's on lockdown. Now, I want you to notice something. Sometimes whenever God has promised you something and you haven't yet received the promise, the obstacle that is between you and what God has promised is there and it's locked up and you feel like it's impossible. You feel like it's impenetrable, but it's not impossible. It's just scared of your faith. It's scared of your God. It's scared of your faith and your belief and your trust in God. Your faith knows what is right. Your faith hasn't wavered. Your faith has believed God's promise is true and that He will fulfill it. And you have come up against an obstacle and it looks so big that you started to think that the enemy is surely going to win this battle. But you need to hear this word of encouragement today, that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That God's promise is true and His promise will prevail. The enemy is scared of the Lord's promise alive in you. And God's calling you to trust Him in the midst of this. Joshua is facing this impossible circumstance, but he knew what God had promised. What walls are you facing in your life? It may not be a wall that is external, that you're looking out and you feel like the enemy has barred all the doors on, but it may be an internal wall. Maybe it's a wall of anger. Maybe it's a wall of fear. Maybe it's a wall of pride. Maybe it's a wall of insecurity. Maybe it's a wall of jealousy. Maybe it's a wall of rage. Maybe it's a wall of isolation. Maybe it's a wall of unforgiveness. Maybe it's a wall of greed. I'm not sure what that wall is for you, but you know that you won't be able to become all that God wants you to become if that wall doesn't come down in your life. But God's promise applied can help us to overcome the walls in our life. When you are facing walls that seem insurmountable, what do you do? I want to share with you two ingredients today on ingredients that will help us overcome walls that seem insurmountable in our life. And they come straight out of this passage. And the first ingredient to overcoming walls is to be humble enough to listen to God's word. To be humble enough to listen to God's word. I think Joshua's humility in this passage is unprecedented. I think it's what makes him such a great leader. Humility always opens your ears to hear. When we're proud, it closes off our ears from hearing and our hearts from receiving. But when we humble ourselves, we open up the possibilities. Joshua sees the servant. Notice in chapter 5, verse 13, he sees the servant. The man is standing in front of him with the drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and asked. In verse 14, when he speaks, Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence. And he asked him, "What do you have to say? What's the message for me today?" Let me ask, when is the last time that you fell face down on the ground before the Lord? When is the last time that you got in front of God and said, "God, here I am, your servant. Speak. I'm listening." When I was preparing this week, I realized it had been a while for me since I had done that. And so right there in my office, I just got on my face before God, laid down on the floor, and just had a beautiful time talking to the Lord and hearing from Him. And I would just say, that is a position that you can get in on a daily basis so that you open your heart to listen to God's word. One of my mentors says this. He says, a man on his face cannot fall far from that position. The Bible actually contrasts that kind of phrase with this phrase, and it says that pride comes before a what? Fall. Some people would say, "Jeremy, I'm not proud." But your actions demonstrate very differently that you may very well be proud. I know business owners who work perpetually 6-7 days a week, around the clock, all the time, with very little margin for faith or family. And to me, that is the definition of pride, because it says it's all about me and what I can do, and it's not trusting the Lord to do what he can do. Coming up in the life of our church in January, we're going to have 21 days of prayer and fasting. And prayer is one way to humble ourselves before God, because it says you're in control. But I'll tell you, there's nothing more humbling than fasting. When you are deprived of nutrition and you're on your face before God, there's something magical. It's not magical, it's spiritual. Something spiritual that happens in our hearts, where we begin to experience God in a real and fresh way. And so I just want you to begin preparing your heart for that season that we go into, that you'll be in a humble posture. Humble posture and hearts create listening ears. Joshua listened. I think that's interesting how he listened. Notice the commander of the Lord tells him, take off your sandals, and because you're standing in a holy place, and then don't miss the phrase at the end of verse 15, and Joshua did so. He didn't just listen to what the servant had to say, he obeyed. He did what the servant said. And that leads us to the next ingredient, to faith that overcomes walls in our life. And that kind of faith is a faith that is courageous enough to obey God's word. When the Lord speaks to Joshua, I just want you to picture this. And he says that I've delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. And then he proceeds to give him the strategy. Now, keep in mind, Joshua is a general. He's a leader. He's been fighting battles for his whole young adult life, and now he's in the prime of his life, and he's being told by God a different military strategy, and God gives him this strategy of how to go about accomplishing this victory. And I don't know if I would have received it the same way that Joshua did, because I think I would have probably been like, I'm not so sure about that, God. I don't know that I won't get a second opinion on that. But Joshua doesn't do that. Joshua simply obeys. Now, last week, Lee talked about having calculated risk in our life. And he said, you know, sometimes if we're going to do something on our own accord and our own strength, we need to have calculated risk. A wise man counts the cost. We know that to be true. And there's something interesting that's different in this passage than it was in Moses' life. God hadn't instructed them specifically to do what they did. They were simply taking a calculated risk in helping him stay alive. But in this situation, God speaks very clearly. He says, I'm going to give you the exact strategy, and I want to tell you exactly how to do this. Try to imagine how absurd that God's strategy might have sounded to real men of war. March around Jericho 13 times in 1 week. Blow some trumpets, and that's it. No weapons, no fighting, no plan of attack. Yet Joshua was committed to doing exactly whatever it took to gain victory of what God said. And if God said to shout, then they were to shout. And if God said that you need to scrap your plan and you need to do my plan, then they're to do that. Let me ask, are you willing to go and do something absurd at the command of the Lord? Are you willing to do something crazy? Now, a lot of people ask the question, how can I hear God speak? I would say primarily you hear God speak right here through this book, the Bible. God gives us his word as his mouthpiece to us. Some people have said it's his love letter to us. Some people have said it's his instruction manual. I'm not sure how you want to view it in your life, but I will tell you, this is the primary way that God speaks to people. Now, God also can use other means. In fact, I just listened to a podcast this week by Mark Batterson. He's written a new book called Whispers, and it sounds fantastic. It sounds like he outlines and talks about the various ways that you can hear from the voice of God. Sometimes you hear from God's word primarily through God's voice primarily through his word, but sometimes it's through people. Sometimes it's through dreams. Sometimes it's through painful situations in our life. God can speak in all different ways if we are humble enough to listen. Now, here's what I believe. If we will just spend time in his word, though, that's the beginning step. That if we'll just spend time reading his word, it will open the communication lines between us and God. I was thinking about the walls that are around us, and I know that we have some internal walls, and I was thinking about the walls in our community. I don't know if you've ever sensed this before, but I've lived here about 10 years now, and I've seen some proverbial walls that are up in people's lives. And sometimes they come in the form of big, beautiful homes. Sometimes they come in the form of gated neighborhoods. Sometimes they come in the form of nice vehicles, or there's all this outward stuff that makes everybody look like they're pretty, but on the inside, there's so much mess and dysfunction going on, and I know that to be true because I've been behind some of those walls, and I've gotten to see the inside picture. But people are walled off, and they're isolated. And the only way to get those walls down is through humble hearts, listening to God, and obeying courageously his word. Now, here's what God's already told us. We don't have to ask. We know. He told us to go. He told us to make the most of every opportunity. He told us to make disciples. Next Sunday, I'm going to be talking about the story of Rahab. And Rahab, if you don't know the story, it is a beautiful, powerful picture of the grace of God at work in someone's life. It takes this woman's story who was a prostitute in Jericho, and tracking it throughout history all the way into Matthew chapter 1, she ends up in the lineage of Jesus. It's a beautiful story of redemption and grace. In fact, I would say it's an opportunity for you to reach out to someone you know who doesn't know the Lord to come and to hear about the grace of God. So I would encourage you to invite someone. Just this week, I invited two of my friends that don't know the Lord, and I just emailed them and said, hey, next Sunday, it's going to be a great Sunday. I'd love to have you come as my guest. And they responded back and said, you know, let us check our calendar. And then they got back with me and said, we're going to be there. And then this is funny, they set their calendar reminder and copied me on it for 10 a.m. on Saturday as a reminder to come on Sunday. I love it. So my encouragement is just that if you would invite someone, and I believe that will be you courageously obeying what God's already said in his word. I know that it takes courage to invite someone. And yet I know that that's critical to us living out faith in our life. Now, let me ask you, where are you on this courage and humility stuff? I want to give you a visual of this. I want to help us evaluate our life in four basic categories when it comes to humility and courage. And the categories are going to come up on the screen one at a time. I think it'll demonstrate, if we're honest, where we fall and where we might be able to grow in our faith. So the first category is forgetful. It's forgetful. And those people are the people who are high humility, but not so high courage. Does that make sense? Okay? Those people are, they're listening to podcasts, and they're listening to the Bible, and they're listening to preaching on Sundays, and they're open to hear what God says, and they know the Bible even, and they're great at listening to what God says. However, putting what they hear into practice is a struggle. We're like an amazing basketball coach who knows what to do and even why to do it, but isn't great at implementation. In other words, they can hype everybody up and create expectation, but they aren't good at playing the game themselves. They don't say it, but it's kind of the idea of do mostly as I say, not as I do. So that's the forgetful person. Others are very courageous, and they're on the other side of the equation. And I would say those people are high at courage, but they're low at humility. They're not listening. If you're courageous and not humble, you're fumbling. You're good at obedience, but not necessarily good at listening. So you fumble and stumble your way through life. You generally know the good you ought to do and the principles of the Bible, yet you don't create space to specifically hear what God is saying to you in that situation. In fact, think about Joshua and think what would have happened if Joshua had said, yeah, God, I got this battle. I'll take care of it. I'll go do it how I think. If he would have done that at Jericho, defeat would have surely come upon him. But God had specific instructions as to how to win the battle. Fumblers are like the experienced Christ followers who generally know what to do, but they don't disciple others. Now, other people are not much of either. They're low hearing and low courage. And if that's you, you're here and you would say that I'm not very humble and I don't listen very well. I'm not very courageous to obey. You're probably very frustrated in life. Choosing to do life your own way, you find yourself out of the game. You find yourself not interested, much like the player who rides the bench for a season, unwilling to listen to his coach and implement and work on the basic fundamentals of the game. Now, this mentality is a dangerous mentality because it can bring an attitude of cynicism and negativity or a false arrogance, often with undertones of insecurity. And then finally, the fourth category is the faithful. Of course, I believe we all want to be the community of the faithful, don't we? We want to be a community who are slowly and steadily advancing by creating the space to humbly bow down before the Lord and listen and then stand up and courageously take the hill and obey. I love this about Joshua because he nails it all throughout his life. The people of Israel are following his leadership all along the way, and they're doing it all because Joshua is humble as a leader. His humble posture and courageous obedience lead him to make an impact on the entire nation. The people of Israel follow God the entire book of Joshua until Joshua dies, and then they fall away from the Lord. But Joshua's leadership is powerful in these people's lives. This is similar to the level 5 leader that Jim Collins describes in his book, Good to Great. Their life and leadership draw people in. It's contagious and compelling. They have attributes that produce a multipliable harvest, 30, 60, 100-fold. And they have fruits of the Spirit at work in their life. Peace, love, joy, gentleness, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. All of these things are at work in the faithful's life. Their faithfulness builds into people, builds into communities, builds into families, builds into churches, builds into organizations that they lead as they bring life and love into their world. So how about us? And the band's going to come. How about us? How can we move from whichever category you're in to being in that top right-hand category of being the faithful? How can we be people who have a posture that is humble hearts, so that we can hear the voice of God? How can we be a people who are constantly, courageously obeying God? Now, I want to invite you to a place of real introspection during these next few moments. And as I said to you, we began this service a little differently, and we said we're going to have that opening set of songs that we're going to do, and then we're going to have a time of reflection. We're reflecting on God's goodness to us. We're reflecting on God's faithfulness to us. We're reflecting on God's promises to us, which is coming directly from His Word. And as we're doing that, we're just allowing our faith to grow in God. And we're saying, God, we're putting ourselves in a posture of humility to say, speak, Lord, I'm listening. And then maybe God will speak to a specific situation in your life. And maybe God will give you courage to obey in the midst of that. But here's what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you to stay in your seat. And the band's going to lead in this song. And I think that it will connect with your heart. And I just want it to wash over you and let you experience how faithful and strong and good God is in this moment. So let's listen together.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. And our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.